The Tom Woods Show, episode 2047.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. I'm delighted today to welcome to the show Scott Atlas, who served as special advisor to the president and as a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force in 2020. From 1998 till 2012, he was professor of radiology and chief of neuroradiology at Stanford University Medical Center. In 2020, he released the book Restoring Quality Healthcare, a six-point plan for comprehensive reform at lower cost. He has been editor, associate editor, and a member of the boards of numerous scientific journals and national and international scientific societies over the past three decades. He's received numerous awards and honors in recognition of his leadership in both policy and medicine, and he is the Robert Wesson Senior Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Hoover Institution. Today, we'll be talking about his book, A Plague Upon Our House, My Fight at the Trump White House to Stop COVID from Destroying America. Dr. Atlas, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You and I are both friends and admirers of Professor Jay Bhattacharya, and you note in your book that he and another colleague of yours kept assuring you that you guys were in the right and the truth would eventually come out and not to be deterred, and you seem to have become a little skeptical of that as time went on. Well, so when I had Jay on, I asked him about these various passport systems, vaccine passport systems that have popped up all over the place, and he said he thought they would not be very long-lasting because they were not rooted in any real science. We know that the vaccinated can also spread the virus. We know all this now. So because these systems are unreasonable, they're just not going to last very long. And I said to him, I'm not sure that reasonable is the word I would use to describe the last 2 years. So just the fact that something is unreasonable doesn't mean it might not persist. So what do you think is going to be the result of these systems? What's their end game? Do you think they might collapse of their own weight because of the way they're going to discourage tourism? Where do you see that going?
Well, you know, that's a good question. It's been, as you say, very treacherous to predict what's happening because what's happened and what's still happening is irrational, illogical, and frankly, analogous to what flat earthers believed. And that's not hyperbole, really. What we see, as of course Jay rightfully said, was that the vaccine passports make no sense. Now, why is that? Basically, what we're seeing today is a continuation of complete denial of scientific fact by people in charge. And it's a completely illogical proclamation made. When you mandate a vaccine for people who don't need the vaccine, you've undermined trust in the vaccine for people who need the vaccine. I'll give you an example. This is the only country in the Western world that does not acknowledge the immunological protection conferred by having recovered from the infection. And the data is very clear on this. The data from other countries, particularly, but not only Israel, shows that you have better, superior protection against an infection from having had the infection than you do from getting a vaccine but having never had the infection. That's factual. That's not an opinion at this point. Yet we don't talk to the American people about that, and our public health leaders never say that. And the CDC do not say that. Secondly, to mandate a vaccine for children, who healthy children have extremely low risk from COVID at all, and nearly zero risk to die. So we're going to mandate somehow, as a society, the people in charge, an experimental vaccine that we don't have a lot of safety data on, because most vaccines take 5 years to get safety data on. We're going to inject children who don't have a risk from the illness with a vaccine that they do have a risk from. That's not just illogical, that's immoral, and frankly, violates all ethical standards of medical care. That is unethical, yet our country's doing that. And so even when other countries, by the way, have issued warnings about this and have not recommended vaccines in a lot of countries in Western Europe for children, yet we do. So, you know, we are irrational here. The people in charge are denying the facts, and the vaccine passports, as your point is, Vaccines are beneficial to protect high-risk people from dying. That's the data. That's what we know so far. There is a benefit for vaccines. They protect the people who get the injection from dying, okay? But they do not protect, they do not stop spread of the infection. They do not protect you from getting a case, an infection itself, even though that infection is generally mild. And that's fact. That's not opinion, okay? When you look at the data from other countries, after 4 months, the vaccine stops protecting you against infection. It's down to, say, 20%, okay? After 2 months, the impact of the vaccine in preventing Omicron is between 4 and 9%. That's essentially zero for all practical purposes. So the vaccine does not stop you from getting an infection, but it stops you from getting a very, very serious illness or dying. So that's good news. But the point of that is it does not have a public health benefit. There is no danger of unvaccinated people being near vaccinated people for the vaccinated people. Okay, the vaccinated people are protected by themselves getting the vaccine from a very, very serious illness or death. It does not matter. It should not matter if other people get vaccinated, because you are protected from the serious consequence and because the spread of the infection is not stopped by the vaccines. This is known. This is not an opinion. So the idea that you need to mandate a vaccine as a public health benefit for others is a lie. It's completely false.
Well, then you have to ask, if this is not being motivated by public health, what is motivating it? And you wonder if maybe it is that they've ginned up all this hatred against the unvaccinated population, blaming them for any problems that arise. And so now you have demagogues like the mayor of Chicago saying that, yes, my vaccine passport system is going to seriously inconvenience unvaccinated people, and that's by design. And then the leadership in France will say things like, we hope to be hated by the unvaccinated, stuff like that. So I wonder if some of this is just motivated by a desire to punish perceived political enemies.
Well, it's either an incredible display of ignorance by the people who are leaders, which is part of this, or it's really something that we as people, as civilized people, as thinking adults, have to understand at this point. The burden of figuring out things of your own risk reward, of your own family's pathway here, is on you. The era of trusting so-called experts because of their position of authority or their degree after their name is over. And at this point, to me, okay, frankly, anyone who thinks it's appropriate to put masks on your kids really is failing the contract that you have as an adult to your own children. Okay, I mean, this is just really sinful abuse of children. What we've done in the United States by closing schools, by forcing kids to learn from outside schools, not only that, but, you know, by keeping them in masks, by making them afraid, by making them think they are dangerous to others. This is really a sinful abuse of children. And the United States is the biggest violator because we have been the only country among our Western peer nations that closed schools in the fall term of 2020, we're talking about here. So I don't know what the motivation is of these leaders except their own ignorance, their own sort of, I don't know, perhaps that they are just drunk with power. I don't know. But it's time to end that by the people themselves. We cannot keep deferring decision-making authority to others. We have to learn that we are the critical thinkers because the leadership has failed. The policies of the restrictions and lockdowns, the Birx, Fauci lockdowns, mandates, and restrictions were failures. That's proven. They failed to stop the virus spread. They failed to protect the people who were even the high-risk people from dying. And they impacted people with enormous harms and really did unconscionable damage to the younger generation. And we're going to take decades to get out of that, if ever.
Last year, I told Jay, Scott Atlas has got to write a book. And he said he is writing a book, and it's going to be great. And I am telling you, it is a thrill to read A Plague Upon Our House. You are peering into the White House response to COVID and seeing all these personalities vibrantly portrayed. You include in there the following anecdote. You asked Dr. Birks, Deborah Birks. Which is the most important study demonstrating the value of population masking? And she replied, the hair salon study. And then you go on to say that you and your colleagues had laughed at that study because of all the methodological problems with it, problems that she herself seemed to be completely unaware of. So the impression that the reader gets is that the people in charge of the response are deeply unimpressive people, and yet, given media adulation, the way they're portrayed to the general public, you would be under the impression that these are extremely competent and profoundly wise people. This is an extraordinary disconnect.
Well, let's put it this way. The first fact to understand is that Deborah Birks was the official person in charge of the federal guidance to the states. She wrote all the guidance to the state governors. She wrote and met with all of the governors and the state public health officials, visited dozens of states throughout the year before, during, and after my time there as the official task force coordinator, the official head of the medical advice. Dr. Fauci was also extremely important because he was the most influential person to the public. The Birx-Fauci policy recommendations were the lockdowns, the mandates, the restrictions, the masks, etc. Those policy guidelines were not just the official federal guidelines, they were implemented throughout the country, almost without exception. I visited one single state during my time in Washington, that was Florida. They did something different. But the Birx-Fauci lockdowns were implemented. And now, you know, what we see is an attempt to rewrite history because somehow Dr. Birks has gone to the media and actually the House of Representatives and claimed somehow that the people to be blamed for any failures of policy are those who disagreed with the policies that were implemented. And it turns out the policies that were implemented were the ones that Dr. Birks and Fauci recommended. So this is sort of a bizarre Orwellian, really shameful lack of integrity and honesty. We have to realize something. When people who are bureaucrats like Fauci and Birks, they were in their bureaucratic positions for 35, 40 years. Okay. When you're in a bureaucratic position in that length of time, the reason you succeed in maintaining those positions is not because you're politically neutral. It's because you're skillful politically at navigating an intensely political environment. And the way you survive is what they did, which is they had friends in the media, they had friends in other agencies. And as we see from the FOIA request that revealed their emails, I wasn't even aware of what was going on because I was naive. I was there thinking, okay, facts matter. I was asked to help the country in the biggest healthcare crisis in the century. The answer is yes, because people were dying. Their policies were failures. So I didn't know that there was this massive collusion going on behind the scenes between Francis Collins, Fauci, and Birx, who were really disgraces. They were shameful in the way they colluded with trash media to delegitimize scientists who simply disagreed with them. Instead of coming to the meetings, for instance, I arranged science experts from all over the country, from UCLA, Stanford, Harvard, Tufts University, pediatric infectious disease scientists, virologists, public health experts, to come in and answer questions of the president and the vice president. Dr. Birx refused to attend. You know, that's not the behavior of a scientist. That's the behavior of a threatened bureaucrat. So it's a disgrace. It's shameful that these people were in charge. They were grossly incompetent. They never cited the science. I brought in dozens of scientific papers to every meeting, went through, critiqued the methodology, meaning the study design, went through and said which studies were, you know, legitimate, which weren't. You know, Dr. Birx and her citation of that hairdresser study is just one example of an embarrassingly low level of scholarship. And people should be frightened by that. And they needed to know. That's one of the main reasons I wrote the book. We can never allow incompetent bureaucrats to pose as experts. We can never defer to people just because of their positions. We have to be critical thinkers ourselves. The burden is on Americans to take that role for themselves and their families, you know, to make the effort to listen to people who are consistent and who seem to be citing the science rather than just claiming that they are citing the science. There's a big difference in those things.
Hey, folks, regardless of what the politicos do in 2022, bring some joy into your life with my sponsor, Skillshare. One membership gets you thousands of inspiring classes in areas like film and video, creative writing, graphic design, illustration, music, photography, web development, business analytics, marketing, productivity, and a lot more. Pursue something you've always been curious to try or build on your existing skills to get even better. There are classes for all skill levels, and they're short and convenient for your busy schedule. I like Thomas Frank's class, Mastering Productivity, Create a Custom System That Works, because I want to maximize what I get done in the time that I set aside for work, so I can likewise maximize the time I can spend with family and traveling and enjoying my life. With Skillshare, you'll create real projects and get the support of fellow creatives so you can accomplish real growth. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/woods, where our listeners get a 1 month free trial. That's 1 month free at Skillshare.com/woods. I want to ask you what might be a bit of a challenging question for you as someone in public health. At this point, Americans who have been paying attention to everything that's been going on and have followed the legitimate science, when they hear the term public health or public health official, I don't know if we can blame them for thinking public health official. Okay, so this is a fear-mongering, herd mentality, hypochondriac, irrational, fact-free, would-be totalitarian. Are they wrong?
Well, we have certainly now, we must conclude that we cannot trust people in the public health leadership. I mean, that trust has been destroyed by the people in the public health leadership. And so it's absolutely horrible now that people, regular people, are in a quandary because we cannot trust science. Science has been politicized. We see absolutely outright lies being published in the scientific journals, political statements, smears of people who disagree with them. That's not science. Science and scientific truth depend on the free exchange of ideas without intimidation. We've seen our university leaders be complete failures in this. Now, I've experienced it myself because it's not enough for university leaders to simply say, oh, we're for freedom, academic freedom, so we won't fire you. Freedom of speech on campuses means being free of intimidation. Okay, there were massive intimidation tactics used, and those intimidation tactics, including used against me, they didn't work against me, okay, but I'm a certain kind of person, but they worked against a lot of people. I got more than 100 emails from scientists and university professors all over the country, including at my own university, Stanford University, including inside the NIH, saying, Scott, keep talking, you're exactly right. We, though, are afraid to step forward for our careers and our families. So the intimidation tactics work. And that's very bad. That's harming the public good. We need the free exchange of ideas to arrive at the solutions to the complicated problems. There is no such thing as science without letting people show the evidence. There is no such thing as educating our children without teaching them critical thinking. And the way you learn critical thinking is to hear different points of view. There's no such thing as critical thinking if you only hear one side. This is obvious stuff, but you know, it's very sad. We are in an era now, we are in a country that our leaders simply deny the facts. This is frightening. These people are flat earthers. They're a disgrace. But you know, we have to wake up as Americans. I mean, the two things that really shocked me, I've said this many times, were number one, the power of the government to simply shut down schools, impose restrictions or close businesses, tell people they must stay in their homes, prevent people from seeing their own families, including their elderly parents. But the bigger shock was the second thing. American people acquiesced to these non-scientific, arbitrary proclamations. Why is it that we see massive protests, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people in Europe, in England, and in France, in Germany, all over the world? We don't see that here. What's going on here? The American people are broken. Okay, to me, most American people are broken. There's a massive amount of psychological damage, and I'm very concerned that we won't get out of this. The second thing that we're not hearing anything about is that people have been living normally in Florida for over a year and a half. There's no worse outcomes in Florida. In fact, they're better than the average outcome of states in the United States on every category. They're better than a lot of the states that did these draconian lockdowns and continue to have these restrictions. Why is it that we never hear any acknowledgement that people have been living normally in Florida with no worse outcomes for over a year and a half? I mean, this is frightening. There is a denial of reality going on. And again, I'm very concerned about the passivity, the acceptance of this by the American people, although there are some small groups of people coming to their senses. We need to wake up, or I'm afraid that we as a society are completely broken.
That's exactly been my concern, is all this compliance. And I've been wondering, where are the large demonstrations in the U.S.? But at the same time, although there are large demonstrations in Europe, their government policies have been much, much worse. Whereas in the U.S., with our federal system, there are some parts of the country that have been able to resist without having to have big demonstrations. They've just gone ahead and lived.
Well, I'm not calling for big demonstrations. I'm not calling for that. I'm just observing that people are acquiescent. And what I'm saying is that, why aren't people making at least their voices heard? The public, in the end, does carry the day, okay? The reason that politicians in other countries are getting rid of certain things like vaccine passports, or at least reconsidering them, and this is happening, by the way, is that the people are saying no. Okay, why is it that people are willing to inject their children, who have essentially no risk from COVID, healthy children, extremely low risk from COVID, they're willing to inject their children with an experimental drug with no real safety data? Safety data on vaccines takes 5 years to compile. Okay, there's not been transparency about the secondary side effects of the vaccines, nowhere near the transparency that we should have if we're supposed to trust our government. Yet parents are willing to inject their kids. Parents are willing to put masks on children. The data is very clear on masks, widespread population masks, not just cloth masks. I'm talking about surgical masks. That's what the Denmark study was using. Surgical masks, not cloth masks. They don't work. They do not stop the spread of the infection. Period. That's known. That's not an opinion. Yet people are walking around, particularly where I live. Most people, almost everybody's wearing a mask outside while they're jogging, while they're on their bicycles, while they're driving their cars alone. These people are broken. There's massive psychological damage. We have non-thinking people comprising a large percentage in this country, and that's very frightening to me.
Well, can we leave on, I don't want to give people false hope, but can you at least share with us any reasons for optimism or any bright spots that you see?
Absolutely. Okay, the reasons for optimism are, number one, the vaccines are successful at protecting the high-risk people from dying. Okay, the vaccines are not useful to protect people from getting another infection, but that's not the big concern. The big concern is, do the vaccines stop you from getting a very serious illness or dying? The answer is yes. So that's good. The second thing to be optimistic about is, we are seeing exactly what any credible doctor or scientist expected, which is the virus has changed into a form that, while it's very contagious, has very low lethality. I'm not sure why any rational person would rush to get a new vaccine against Omicron when Omicron is proven so far to have very low risk compared to the previous versions of this virus. And that's exactly what happens when a pandemic ends. A virus mutates and the changed virus is less lethal. In fact, when you get an endemic virus, and this virus will never disappear, okay, because there's reservoirs in animals, it's not one of the viruses that will ever disappear. But what we do see is the virus lethality is markedly less. Okay, so are we willing to accept some deaths from this virus like we have always accepted in influenza? Do you realize that influenza, there are about roughly 50,000 deaths a year in the United States? That's 1,000 deaths a week if you want to average it. 50,000 deaths a year from influenza. We don't blink an eye at that. We don't wear a mask that is ineffective. We don't sit there and obsessively wipe off countertops. We don't sit there and isolate and test, and block travel and do all of these really ineffective things to stop 50,000 deaths a year from influenza. Are we going to suddenly become obsessive compulsive neurotics about this virus that does not have a significant harm like it did before, like previous versions of the virus might have before? More than 95% of high-risk people in the United States have been vaccinated, okay? When the people that are high-risk are not vaccinated at this point in time, they're making a conscious decision that is fine. That's within their power if they want to incur risk. That's fine in a free society. It is really unethical to try to force people to get a vaccine who don't even have a significant risk from the illness. I don't know any logic in a pharmaceutical company or a public health leader claiming we need a new vaccine for a virus like Omicron that does not have a really markedly serious impact. I mean, I don't understand that. If you're high risk and you're vaccinated, the vaccines work to protect against death. By the way, probably 200 million Americans have had this infection. The immunity coming from COVID infection and then recovery is factually superior to the immunity from the vaccine. I don't care what anyone says. What I just said is the data. It's proven. It's shown in the data from other countries, which I unfortunately have to trust more than our own CDC because our CDC does not come up with the data. But if you look at the facts, the protection in a recovered person from COVID is better than the protection from a vaccinated, never infected person. That's fact. And I think that you have to understand that facts matter. It doesn't matter to me what a person says in the media. I care about the data, and that's what counts.
Indeed it is. Well, I want to respect your time, Dr. Atlas. So I thank you for your time today. I want to urge everybody, check out the book we've been discussing, A Plague Upon Our House, My Fight at the Trump White House to Stop COVID from Destroying America, by our guest, Scott Atlas, who is and remains a hero. Thank you so much for your work and for your time today.
Well, thank you for your support. Appreciate that.
All right, everybody, that'll do it for today. Don't forget, I have an extremely important announcement to make on February 1st, 2022, that I will not be making on the podcast, because by the time I make it and you hear it, the thing I'm describing will have passed. So I need you to help me communicate with you by signing up to hear the announcement. And then after that day, you will never be emailed again from that list. It's just for that day to tell you about the announcement. Head over to tomwoodsannouncement.com, or in the United States, you can simply text the word announcement to the number 66866. But I promise you, this is of great importance to you, as indeed it is to me. And that's what I'll say for now. But you are going to want to hear this. It is extremely significant as in terms of a step that I'm taking in my life and that maybe you will join me in. So tomwoodsannouncement.com is where to go, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.